Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Okay, are you going to meet my parents now for Christmas? Like, and that... that brings it to a whole other level. Like, why would you put that pressure on yourselves?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, that is what happened to you,
Mel. Exactly what happened to me. And it was, it's a lot of pressure. Luckily, it went well.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about. Ducking out, ducking out, ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that's ready to settle down just in time for the holidays. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with actor Amanda Grace Jenkins about cuffing season. Tis the season.
It is. It is. It's what everybody's talking about. Yeah, this was a fun conversation. We're excited to get to it, but... some announcements first. You know, we haven't asked you in a long time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I mean, what? It's been like 3 weeks. Yeah. So make sure that you go to Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars, please. It really does help other people find the podcast and it makes us look good. Thank you. We love it.
We love it so much. You know, you probably found the podcast because some dyke out there rated it 5 stars. So let's just pay it forward this holiday season.
I love that. Yes. Do it for the holidays.
Yeah. Not us. No.
Never.
Santa.
Also, you know, while you're at it, you can become a patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/dykingout. And for as little as $5 a month, you get an extra episode pretty much every week where we get into fights.
Yeah. It's getting real adversarial over on patreon.com. Get some popcorn.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of dyke drama. There's dyke bike drama that's happening between me and Melody on her off topics. She did call me White Devil.
And a few times.
Yeah, and you'll hear why. So $5 a month. For $15 a month, you can listen to ad-free episodes of this podcast. And for $20 a month, you can hang out with us on Zoom every other month. That's fun.
It is fun. It becomes like a dyke happy hour, no matter where people are calling in from, which I love.
Yes, it's one of my favorite things to do. And we have one that's going to be coming up. So actually, if you become a patron now, you'll be able to join our December Patreon hang. And
love it.
Lastly, if you're listening to this in time, tonight, Tuesday, December 7th, we are doing a live recording of the podcast. If you live in New York, come to the Wing Soho, go to the Eventbrite link that is in our Instagram bio, and you can RSVP for free. There will be wine. There will be Jenna Lyons. There will be both me and Melody.
Because Melody Kamali was not at the Stonewall show.
No. And we hate it.
I hate it. Carolyn was sick last week. this week I'm sick.
And it's not 2019. You can't just power through. You can't just do a cocktail of all your cold syrups mm-hmm. in your medicine cabinet and go out and do shows. People don't like that.
Yeah.
People being me.
Carolyn.
No. But also other performers. But we did have our show at Stonewall, and we'll be back in January with our next show. They are the last Monday of the month, and it was a great one. It was a great one for people who were there. The audience was great. The comedians were great. Softy performed. It was a really, really fun time. And plug your ears, Melody. Don't listen to this part. It was a really fun time.
Let's fight again.
And it just felt so good to be back.
Yeah. It looked fun, you know. Just
it'll be extra awesome for you next time.
And refresh on those stories from home.
Yeah.
Watching it all go down. Yeah, we'll be back in January.
And we're gonna hook you up to an IV full of a vitamin cocktail leading up until then. And
looking forward to it.
One last plug for the L Word holiday episode reading that we're doing at Stonewall.
Now, when is that?
And that is Tuesday, December 14th at 7:30 p.m. And yeah, tickets for that will also be on our Instagram. You'll see the link for that. So make sure you come. You know, it's a little bit different than our Dyking Out at Stonewall shows, which always sell out. But I think that this will sell out too. I think L Word events are generally pretty
I mean we have
popular.
Come to find out
yeah especially
the last
when
few months.
We're involved
yeah.
So yeah, and you know, you never know what's gonna happen.
Yep, we're saying Sepide will be there.
I was gonna ask her to read for Bet, but then I didn't. I was like, that's a weird ask.
Yeah, let's
had she done the pod,
right,
I would.
Get her on the pod first.
Yeah, let's get her on the pod. I know. Always put the pod first.
Yes.
Melody.
Yes.
I know you've been sick, but have you been gay? What's the gayest thing that you did this week?
That's actually funny you should say. When I was at the doctor, I went originally to get COVID tested when I started feeling not so well. And then I went to a walk-in clinic where I had the option to see the doctor and find out what was actually going on. So I was doing my whole intake with this nurse and got my vitals, got all the questions you get asked, right? And she's asking about medications I'm on. And then, you know, that question a lot of us get asked. I did not get asked it. What instead happened was, she turns to me just going through and goes, and you're not on birth control, right? The question is, are you on birth control? I was asked, and you're not on birth control, right? And I was like, holy shit, I did it. I finally look queer enough to not be asked this question. Amazing. I love it. And I kind of snort laughed back like, no. And it was just the gayest thing of the week, wasn't it?
I love that. I love that for you.
That doesn't That's ever so... happen, right?
Yeah. No, they always ask. "Are?" That's a weird thing to say. Like, you're
right.
Not...
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, she was like, I overcompensated my snort laugh no to the point where I seemed like an anti-birth control straight woman, because she was like, girl, I know, like, oh, it's the worst, I know, don't we know. So
a real Ricky Lake.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's the one time I went out in the last week, so that'll have to be it.
Yeah, that's pretty gay.
I did probably get sick. I solidified it from not being at Stonewall, not for our show, but a few days before that, I went out dancing there. I just ended up there. I was drunk in the West Village and went up the stairs with Leah, who you know, Erica Rose's girlfriend, and our friend Alicia. We went up the stairs and it was just all Gen Z dancing. Like, we just felt ancient.
Really?
And we were like, oh, I've never. Okay.
I didn't know it was a younger crowd.
It was so young, and we were like, should we dance? And we did, and we were like, wow, I'm loving this Gen Z safe space. Like, I'm telling you, there were some people I danced so close with yet never touching that I was like, I love this safe space. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but we just let go of all of our inhibitions and danced with a lot of people in their early 20s upstairs at Stonewall, where you would assume there would just be a bunch of lesbians sitting around. I don't know what I assumed. That's what I associate upstairs at Stonewall
with. Oh, we have fun. Yeah. We know how to have fun.
Older lesbians. I know. Yeah, I was going through my text messages the next morning when I woke up incredibly dehydrated in my clothes and makeup from just hours prior on that dance floor. And I had sent out these texts that were like, oh, we ended up at Stonewall to a lot of people. I danced with a Gen Z. It was hilarious. A Gen Z.
A Gen Z.
Oldest text. So I gave you my gayest thing and my oldest thing of the week. Yeah. What about you? What's the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh, the gayest thing I did. I mean, the Stonewall show. I feel like that's a cop out. So maybe it's that after the Stonewall show, I went to Cubbyhole.
We really go to three places, huh?
I'm trying to save the lesbian bars, Melody.
Single-handedly, yes. Okay.
Yeah, I went to Cubbyhole after Stonewall, and that was pretty gay. But no, I think I should be able to think of something gayer. Okay, so we won't count Cubbyhole as my gayest thing. I think actually the gayest thing was that it was Cecilia's birthday. And we were actually just driving back from Buffalo, which is not a thrilling way to spend a birthday, but it was really nice. We like drives together. It's good quality wife time, you know, lots of time to just talk and connect and sing along to songs, to the playlist that I made for my mom's Thanksgiving, because she likes to put this like Pandora station that's like elevator jazz music. I'm like, you're gonna put everyone to sleep. I'm putting on Whitney Houston, Mariah, Beyonce, like,
yeah,
let's get some appropriate songs in. But then because we had spent the whole day driving, we were just gonna have a chill night in, and she wanted to watch a movie, and I watched for the first time The Matrix.
Huh.
I've never actually sat through the entire movie, The Matrix.
Yeah.
And because they're rebooting it.
I don't know if I've ever lasted the whole thing. I don't know I don't get it. What is The Matrix?
Yeah. I don't, you know, I mentioned it at my mom's that I'd never seen it. And my aunt was like, why do I feel like it was always on at your house? I felt like every time I came over, The Matrix was on. I was like, well, it wasn't me watching it. I don't know. Anyway, I think the gayest thing is that I immediately Googled the actress who plays Trinity to see if she's gay IRL, because she just had, she's so gay in it. Except I guess, like, spoiler alert, she's like in love with Keanu Reeves' character with Neo.
I think,
but
it's
she
okay,
plays a lesbian. Yeah. If you haven't seen The Matrix yet, it's not really a spoiler. It's the dumbest, like, was my least favorite part of it. And not just because it was like heterosexual garbage. She plays the lesbian in Jessica Jones on Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's the same actor. So I'm like, okay. And like, I kind of like, as soon as Trinity was introduced, I was like, oh, this is like definitely a lesbian. And I'm like, well, two lesbian. I wonder if the actor is gay. And they're not.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Ann Moss. Yes, that is her name. And I just think, you know, maybe it's definitely just the hair. It's the hair.
It's the hair.
And
oh, I want to be here for Halloween next year now, because I have this haircut. Amazing.
You're already going to be cuppy.
Oh, that's true. Oh, by the way, I got my bra measured. I'm not a double D. I'm a D, sometimes double D. Just, I know everyone was
for the
just
record, yeah,
freaking out.
We need to issue corrections at the top.
Yeah, because I, right? Was that what the episode I just
offer
up my cup size? Cuppy was like, I said I want to be cuppy for Halloween next year. She's like, well, do you have big boobs? Right.
Yeah. So what is your bra size? So if people want to send you a bra instead of fan mail, just send Melody bras.
You can send me a bralette. How about that?
A bralette.
Yeah, that's the vibe. We got a new variant. A lot of things are being canceled in my life, and it looks like more bralette time, more couch and bralette, and that'll be a large thank you.
Well, you know what's not being canceled is our conversation with today's guest.
Yes!
We are diking out with actor Amanda Grace Jenkins about cuffing season. So, Melody, while you're sitting around in your bralette, you were probably watching The 12 Dates of Christmas, and Amanda is the leading lesbian lady on the second season of The 12 Dates of Christmas. It is out streaming on HBO Max now. Check it out, and let's get into it. Amanda Grace, thank you so much for taking the time to dike out with us this holiday season. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
So your show, by the time that this episode comes out, is already out streaming on HBO Max, The 12 Dates of Christmas. Did you film this then last holiday season at the end of 2020?
Actually, we filmed it at the beginning of 2021. So we were in Christmas land from beginning of February to April.
Oh, I love it.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So a little bit of like finagling to give a feel of New Year's and Christmas and
yes,
all of that.
Yes.
Well, you pulled it off.
Definitely. And it was weird because we got out of Christmas land and it was like, oh, it's Easter now? What? It's confusing.
I mean, it was a winter wonderland though. Where was this like chalet you guys were all in?
It was in Lake Tahoe. So it was
okay.
It was still winter there. So
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I was thinking maybe it was like Lake Champlain or something on the East Coast. But that's wow. All right.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it was. It was my first time over there. So I was born in California. I've spent so much time in California, and I'm like, I can't believe I've never been over here before. It reminded me of Colorado a lot because that's where I grew up, though.
Colorado. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we dive in to talking about the show and cuffing season and everything else, Melody, do you have a question for Amanda?
You know what I do, Carolyn? Amanda, what is the gayest thing you did this week?
That's a great question. Well, I am hanging out in the mountains wearing flannel and talking about my feelings. So I would say that's the gay.
<There you go. laughs> That's it. That's it. Yes. Love it.
Yeah. We can't wait to dive into your feelings about everything.
Yes. Where did we start? Like, was being on a dating show something you ever saw for yourself?
That's a definite no. So I'm really, sometimes I still have moments where I'm like, did I really do that?
Like, yeah.
I'm still kind of like, I feel like it's still kind of setting in that I even did the whole thing. Because I never really saw myself dating in that way. I don't really watch reality TV. Like I've watched a couple here and there when friends have had it on, but it's, I like a little bit more narrative stuff. I'm really big into movies and television shows. So it's not my typical choice of entertainment. And I just was like, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could do that. But when I got introduced to this idea and I have been approached before, to be on reality shows. And then I thought about it and I was like, no, it's not for me. So when they reached out to me for this, and then I went and watched the first season, I was like, okay, I kind of like this. I like that they're in like a castle and it's Christmassy. And it just seemed like I like the whole rom-com kind of thing. And I'm kind of like a cheesy romantic. So I felt it was kind of right up my alley in a way. And also it didn't look too wild because that's more my thing. Is like,
yeah.
I'm a pretty reserved person and it's not that I don't have a wild side. It's just that
it's just you might not want all of your family and friends to see that side.
Yeah. I usually keep that a little bit more reserved. So
Yeah.
I liked that in terms of just what I'm presenting to the public. It didn't seem that wild. So I was like, all right, maybe. And I still had a lot of hesitance. I decided to go through with the process, and I was single at the time. So I was like, okay, why not? I'll just go through the casting process. But there were, I don't even know, I couldn't tell you how many times I decided I wasn't going to do it. And that was a for sure. Like, I'm like, I'm not doing it. And so then it wasn't till like a week before the filming that I finally made an official decision that yes, I'm doing this. And then once I said yes and signed the contract, they're like, okay, we need you out here in like a couple of days. And da, da, da. And it was just like, it was a whirlwind after that. So
wow.
Did you ever think like, wow, if this was such a hard decision on whether or not to do a show, how am I going to pick the person that I want to take home for Christmas?
Yeah, I would have to say that was the most difficult part of this whole process for me, because I mean, my personality in general is I like to think about things for a long time before I make a decision. And especially if it's a big decision. And I don't take big decisions lightly. I really put a lot of thought into the things and people that I bring into my life. So that was challenging. I didn't have a lot of time. And that pushed me to, I mean, I think in a good way, it kind of pushed me to kind of jump some steps and process through some things a little faster, and also just release and let go of that control that you don't always have all the time in the world to make big decisions. So, I think it was a good challenge for me overall.
We're so glad you took on the challenge, because you did sort of make history by going on the show. I don't know how many other lesbian female leads we had on a reality dating show in the past, right? Like, I can't think of any. It's kind of historic.
Yeah. I mean, when you say that, like, you never thought you'd be on one, it's like probably because it's not something that lesbians do.
Right.
We're not like ever the focal point of programming like this. So it was really refreshing to see, and a lot of fun too, especially the fact that it was like a straight couple, a gay guy couple, and then like, you know, queer women, non-binary folks. And just to see kind of the differences between how each of the groups are was pretty funny.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that will be fun to watch and see how, and for the audience in general, to just see kind of how people move differently. I feel the way speaking for the queer women, I feel like it was, I don't want to say typical, but like it just was very, we definitely brought a lot of the heightened emotions and the drama like right away into it. And I feel like that
sure
is typical
did.
Of lesbian
right.
relationships.
that, and also we've talked about on this podcast before, like, what would a lesbian dating show look like? And we're like, well, what would keep the contestants from hooking up with each other? And the answer is, not much.
Yeah, I think that,
not that it was like out of control on this show, but like it happens.
Yeah. And I think mentally I wish that I had been thinking a little bit more in that mindset, because I think going in I was thinking about all the past structures I had seen in terms of what I had seen on reality TV. And you're right, we haven't seen this type of representation. Maybe I would have watched more of it if there were lesbian shows and the types of relationships I wanted to see. So I just had this very like very kind of more like structured idea going into it, and I really was not thinking about the fact that it could be a free-for-all in there. I wish I did. I mean, looking back, I'm like, well, of course, but in the moment, I mean, I wasn't really thinking about that. And so that was definitely something that affected me. I definitely got upset about it at first, because I wasn't prepared for that.
For sure. Well, I'll be interested in hearing your thoughts after you see it.
Yeah. Keep us posted.
Yeah, yeah. Please do.
It was also the first time I've ever seen pronouns in people's lower thirds graphics.
Right.
Like all everybody. Of the contestants. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. It was just so like queer. There was a moment in the second episode, a bunch of people were in a hot tub and it was like the girls, gays and theys were all just like talking about someone and they were like, you know what? No, aggressive isn't cute. Yeah, no, aggressive isn't cute, which is like not a take you ever hear on reality dating shows that are usually completely aggressive in nature.
Yeah.
I was like, this is such a queer breath of fresh air. This is the coziest, like, queerest reality dating show I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was also like effortlessly queer, though. Like it felt very natural, very organic. Like, you know, people's identity was never an issue, which we love to see. Like, let's just watch people be happy and like trying to find love and going on dates and being cute. And it doesn't really matter what gender you're interested in or whatever, like, you know, everybody's kind of trying to do the same thing. So it is a really nice feel-good show. How long were you in the chalet for?
Let's see. I want to say I really lost track of time while I was there.
Right.
I think we were there for about a month.
Wow.
Yeah, probably around 4 or 5 weeks. And then we did the home visit. And then after that was the New Year's trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it makes it seem a lot more accelerated, because I was confused with Danny's storyline because he kept saying that he knew Nikki for so much longer than Brooke. And I'm like, how much longer could it have been that it made this much of a difference? But
I mean, yeah, you do lose.
But a couple of weeks, yeah, it could be a big.
Yeah, deal. I want to say Brooke came on towards, I don't want to say towards the end, but definitely much later on. It might have been a couple
right.
weeks with Nikki before he met Brooke.
Yeah. Other questions about the filming of the show? The drinking, you know, nobody was ever acting sloppy or drunk or anything on the show, but the shots that are included, the drinks are constantly being poured. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I hope these folks are hydrating. Like, how are you able to keep up with all of the festivities, let's say?
You know, that was difficult for me personally, because I've never been able to be a hardcore drinker in the first place. I've always had a very sensitive stomach. And now I'm also in my 30s, and a lot of I would say the majority of the people on the show were still in their 20s. And so, I mean, if you rewind a few years back, yeah, maybe I would have been able to keep up a little bit more. But one of my biggest struggles was trying to get enough rest, because you have a whole day of filming. And then at night, the drinks are coming out. And sometimes that was the only time that I'd really get an opportunity to like connect a little bit more with my dates. So it was just like, okay, like not get much sleep tonight and connect more, or try to be like rest up for tomorrow. And it's just like, everything's back to back to back. So yeah, but the drinks, I think part of the purpose that there were always drinks available for us was to make sure we were nice and loose and open to be vulnerable and get us like warmed up. So I think there was definitely a purpose. And also it's a wild environment. I think the drinks definitely helped for a lot of people to just kind of, I don't know, have fun. And
So, it's a holiday show.
Yeah.
Can we talk about your outfits? Which we
love,
please. I mean, wow, hats off. Amazing looks were pulled throughout.
Yes.
You really repped the community well with the suits, especially. How much planning goes into that, like in the lead up? Like, are you just like pre-planning all your outfits? What's the
consideration? How much control do you have? Yeah.
You know what? It was, thank you, first of all. It was definitely a collaborative effort. Their wardrobe team was awesome. It was something that there was definitely a lot of conversation about going into the show, because I've over the last year, especially, I mean, it's still been kind of like, I feel like I'm still actually kind of coming into my own more. And in the last year or two, I've been getting more and more comfortable dressing more masculine presenting, because it's like, I didn't come out till I was 30 and I've been dressing a lot more feminine for a while. But like, I started off when I was younger, when I was little, like I hated dresses. I was not very girly. I was like a little tomboy, like wanted to wear backwards hat and like sneakers and like just be comfortable. So this was something that it was important for me. If I'm representing myself on TV, I wanted to fully represent myself in the way that I look. And so fashion is important for me and how I feel. And I wanted to feel confident in who I am and how I look. So I know that like there were times where they wanted to push some dresses, and I was actually open to wearing dresses, but I mostly wanted to really just embrace my more masculine presenting side. And it was just like, every time I tried on a dress, and maybe it just wasn't the right one, I just didn't feel, I wasn't feeling comfortable. But I really wanted to rock some suits, because when I put on a suit, it just makes me feel so good.
Yes. And
so I love that they really allowed me to, and they made it clear to me that they wanted me to represent myself in the best way. They wanted me to feel comfortable. They wanted me to feel like I looked beautiful. And so I got a lot of support in that. So it was definitely a collaborative effort on what I was wearing. And some things were some of my own, but I did get a lot from wardrobe. And I mean, they'd be like, okay, like, do you like this? And I'd be like, no. They're like, do you like this? Yes. And like, it was just a lot of that, just trying to figure out what worked.
Love it.
Did you get to keep anything?
I know, right?
I did, yeah.
How about that white suit?
Yes!
Yeah, I have the white. Yes. Kept the red one, the green one. My favorite stuff.
Makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
It's so, once I started finding like well-fitted suits for me, it's very hard to go back to dresses for special occasions, because it feels so...
I'm still in that process.
Awesome. Yeah.
I'll get there someday.
And I do still feel like I'm very much in the middle, and I've always wanted to be able to still have the flexibility to be like, if I want to look really feminine one day, or if I really want to look super masculine. And it's been a journey to accept that too, because I've always had this like concern, like, oh, if I dress like this, if I dress a certain way, these people won't be attracted to me. I've always been thinking too much about that. And I'm just like, throw all of that out. I need to dress for me, and I don't have to choose. And I can wake up each day, and if this is what I feel like wearing, I can wear that. And I want to like promote that and show that it's okay to be right in the middle. It's okay to be both. You don't have to pick one or the other. And there's nothing to matter with being one or the other. But for me, I just felt like I never really fit in the box with this. And I'm really happy that they allowed me to express that.
We love that, because I feel like sometimes as a community, we can get caught up in labels like, are you femme? Are you mask? Are you a top? Are you a bottom? You know, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, we contain multitudes.
Stressful.
You know? Yeah, we should be allowed to feel some way with some people, or some days. You know, a lot of things can affect what mood we're in, what we're feeling, and how versatile we are. And there's no reason to limit ourselves. So I love that you tried to rep that on the show, and I think it came through. Cool.
Awesome.
So are you somebody, you know, talking about cuffing season, which is kind of the premise of this show, right? It's all about finding someone in time, I mean, in theory, for the holidays, so that you're not having to spend all those months by yourself. That's my understanding of cuffing season. What's your understanding? Or Melody, do you know more about cuffing season? This is like unfamiliar territory for me, because I've never been one I'm like a serial monogamist or was one. And like, I was just always in a relationship. So it was never like, ooh, I better find someone in time for the holidays.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like I never did the season thing. Like it just never depended on a specific season for me. It was like, if I found like someone right now, it could be in the summer, it could be anytime. I didn't really ever base it on that. So finding someone for the holiday specifically was like not really a goal in the past. So that was kind of, that was a new experience for me to be like, oh, I'm specifically finding someone for the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. I never really, maybe I tried and failed in the past, but yeah, didn't like stick to a strict schedule. There does seem to be two seasons people talk about: hot girl summer and cuffing season. Yeah. I was talking to my gay guy friends, and one of them in particular sent me the cuffing season schedule, if you guys would like to hear it.
Oh, there's a cuffing season.
Walk us through it.
Yes,
there's a whole schedule. It's very like football-y. Okay. It's not just like cuffing season. It's broken down into, first we have scouting season within cuffing season. That's August 1st through 31st. Okay. Hot girl summer's winding down. You're scouting. You've just got like one eye open. Then we have drafting season. That's September 1st through 30th. Okay. Tryouts are October 1st through 31st. We're in the preseason right now, November 1st to 30th. Actual cuffing season is supposed to be, according to the gays, December 1st to January 15th. Then we have the playoffs, okay? January 16th to February 3rd. Championship game, Valentine's Day. And that's cuffing season, as it's been explained to me.
But that makes it sound like there's like a lot of people involved. I thought the whole point of cuffing season was like, hook yourself onto one other person.
Yeah, but that's getting harder and harder for people these days. I don't know.
Yeah, true. That does sound like a lot of energy, though.
I know.
It's not like a whole game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's good to know. It's good to know the schedule now.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I just feel like cuffing season, like every year, and especially with social media, you just hear a lot about it, like, oh, cuffing season's coming up, and it's like a big thing. And I'm like, is this a real thing? Because that seems like, I don't know, to me, it seems like a weird time to get into a relationship, especially because then you have like depending on the timing, it's like, what do you do for the holidays, especially with like lesbians who, you know, get serious a lot faster. It seems that if you've been with somebody for 2 months, you can have a very intense bond. And it's like, okay, are you going to meet my parents now for Christmas? Like, and that brings it to a whole other level. Like, why would you put that pressure on yourselves?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, that is what happened
to you,
Mel.
Exactly what happened to me. And it was, it's a lot of pressure. Luckily, it went well. But getting into a relationship just before the holidays, like, I feel like I lost hair over it. It's like, really stressful.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Had you before the show brought anyone home, like, around the holidays?
Yeah, I have, but not. That was before I came out. So the majority of my 20s I spent in two long-term relationships. So one was about 4 years, the other was about 3 years, 3.5. And those two people were very much a part of my family's lives. But this was back when my family was all still living in the same state. And it was very normal for us to like bring people over for the holidays. Like there's always someone new, like one of my brother's friends or like a sister's boyfriend or like, and there was always someone at the house. We were always having cookouts and like holidays was just like we were the type to take in anybody if they didn't have someone to spend their holiday with, like come over with us. So it was, it wasn't as big of a deal. But there were actually both of those boyfriends ended up really kind of becoming like, well, of course in the different ties, but becoming a part of the family. And like we do name drawing and like they would get included in that and everything. Like we do like Secret Santa and stuff. So it's not so weird for me to like, if I am seeing someone like that, to bring them around. But now that I'm not really living in the same place as my family and we're more spread out, it would actually be more of a big deal because if we're together and we're at the point where we're going to get on a plane and go somewhere to go celebrate with the family, then we're probably pretty serious. And none of my relationships in the last several years have gotten that serious where we're going to go travel together and go to be with my family on the holidays. So this show kind of like introduced that into my life, and I haven't brought a woman home to the family. So that was new for me. So.
Ooh, flying. Yeah. Is also the ultimate test for any relationship.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. I agree.
Like, not even the like meeting the family. It's actually the ultimate test is like the air logistics. Travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
In one of the conversations that you had with Hina on the show that made the cut, you brought up a term and I love that you brought it up and that it made it into the discussion, but you mentioned that they were kind of love bombing you on the show. And love bombing, we talked about it. I think it was our love addiction episode with Rivka Reyes. And that seems like something that probably happens too if you're dating during cuffing season, is if it's like, you know, the holiday spirit is in the air. Yeah. It's like gift giving and stuff like that. Romantic gestures are high. And I don't know. I just thought it was really like emotionally mature of you to recognize, like to be able to tell apart the like love bombing and be like, well, is this real or is this just like love bombing? Can you talk a little bit more about that and how you were able to kind of suss through this like false sense of intimacy maybe that the show created?
Yeah, definitely. And I wasn't sure if that was going to make it in. I had a lot of anxiety around that actually, because I have a tendency to doubt myself a lot and doubt my reality because I've spent, and this is where I've gotten the term from. I've had to do a lot of my own like head and heart work from past relationships because I've been in some just mentally, emotionally abusive relationships. I've had narcissists in my life. And so I've gotten to know some of these terms, and I'm not sitting here saying he knows this or that.
Right.
But these are where I've gotten these terms from. And so I move through life now with a certain amount of awareness of what things to watch out for. And you may have heard me talk a lot about like not wanting to repeat patterns in the past. I mean, I had to learn a lot about myself on why I was attracting these types of people into my life. So it's a lot when I'm stepping into new situations, it's a lot of just like looking for certain red flags and checking in with myself and just kind of like hoping I'm not attracting the same thing. Because I know that those things in the past that I attracted were not healthy for me. And a lot of what's happened in the past, this has been very consistent, is people come into my life wanting to be a part of my life, wanting to experience me and whatever I can bring them. And it's really exciting and passionate right away. And they're doing the most, they're doing a lot of things. And me, I get swept up in that because how can you not? It's hard to not get swept up in that. And you're like, this feels so good. And then it drops off and it's not consistent. And then they're gone. And then you're like, well, what happened here? So if someone's doing the most in the beginning before they even know me or know who I am and know if they even like me, it makes me a little concerned and worried that like, is this authentic? Is it something, are they just doing this to get what they need to benefit? Is it just about them? Or is this genuine? Because I mean, I've had a lot of nice things done for me and I've had a lot of people say a lot of things and some of that's been genuine and a lot has not. So I wasn't sure when I brought up that, I remember they immediately responded of just like, well, that's really dangerous. That's a dangerous term to use. And then part of me was just like, oh yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have used that term. But then I'm like, also, am I being gaslit?
You're being gaslit, let me tell you. Yeah. I was so proud of you in that moment. I'm like,
yeah.
You tell them.
With Hina, I mean, that is exactly what happened and what made me think that in the first place, because Hina went hard. I mean, Hina is a very impressive person, brilliant.
Yeah.
They speak several languages. They have all these awesome qualities about them. So they had a lot to bring to the table and to show right away. But then it was like, as soon as there was something that they didn't like and they got triggered in a certain way, they pulled all of that back. Felt in a way like I was getting punished and not getting to receive that same affection anymore. And it just left so quickly. Like the shift was extreme, literally night and day. It was like, that was right when I was getting triggered and getting upset. So I understand their reaction was also off of my change of energy too. But I mean, the reason why I'm in a position now where I'm not doing the most, because I mean, I used to do the most too for people in the beginning. But then I was like, well, why am I doing that before I'm really giving this a chance and getting to know people? And like, so that's kind of where I kind of came from with that. And I still kind of had a lot of doubt on, I don't know, is this love bombing? Was it not? And towards the end, I mean, looking back now, I think that I do have doubts around the authenticity of how Hina felt about me and if they really felt a certain way about me or if it was just about, I guess, winning or just kind of getting what they needed. So,
right.
I don't know. I don't know. I put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we love to see the emotional maturity. It was so funny, like watching, not funny, but like really refreshing seeing the queer people on the show getting into their feelings and being just like so eloquent. I don't know. Queer people have to do a lot of like looking inward. And it was like really clear the contrast between like the gay and straight relationships on the show. Like,
yeah, I feel like whenever I've watched dating shows that are more heteronormative, it's a lot of like pettiness and jealousy between the competitors and just like everybody like almost like mindlessly going after like the one bachelor or whatever, whether or not it's the right person, but this like feeling of like, oh, it needs to be me, whatever. But I appreciated how it really comes across that you are being thoughtful in trying to be like as in touch as you could be with how you were feeling, with not wanting to mislead anybody, not wanting to waste anyone's time, with being really honest with yourself, honest with them. It was just like the most emotionally mature and like responsible dating show that I've ever seen. I mean, I haven't seen a ton, but like I can definitely say that by far, and that felt just so queer.
Oh, I've seen
like,
a ton. You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
I enjoyed that actually. Like I think that looking back, I'm glad that we were able to have a lot of these just in deep introspective conversations. And I mean, I feel like a lot of us were doing that. And I'm definitely a big advocate for having, being more vulnerable and having more of these conversations. Like when I'm meeting people, we can be open and we're just not on the surface. Like that's my shit. Like I love that stuff. So I'm glad that this show really allowed for these types of conversations to be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you big into astrology yourself? Because I don't know if I heard you talk about it, but like Hema a lot of the time or the other contestants there for you would be like, well, she's an Aquarius. So, you know.
You know, it's funny because I didn't know anything about this stuff for the longest. And maybe because I just grew up in such a heteronormative environment. Right. Like, and so I started learning more about it, especially when I came out and then hanging out with lesbians. And actually, I learned my full chart this year, and Hina helped me learn that because I was like, I didn't know what time I was born. So I finally found that from the birth certificate, and then we were able to figure out my full chart. So now I know that, but there's still just so much like I know some personality traits with different signs, but there's still like, sometimes I'm just like, yeah, well, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And I also just think that I do believe in astrology, but I also feel like it can't be everything because we all grew up so differently and it all depends on how we grew up and also just how the work that we're doing in our own lives, because I'm a completely different person than I used to be. And I've been able to see myself, recognize certain traits and be able to work on them and change things. So I don't like to get stuck in, this is my personality, so this is how I'm going to be, and box myself in like that.
Yeah.
And yes, I've had certain signs like do me wrong. And part of me, when I meet someone, let's say if I meet another Virgo, I'm going to be like, oh no, but I can't, I really don't think I'm going to let, like, I'll have a certain little like negative thought in my mind, but I don't think I would let that hinder me from dating another Virgo, because, which also I found out Virgo's in my chart. So I was like, that's ironic. Virgo rising. I'm like, well, that makes sense. I feel like a lot of times people are a reflection of ourselves. And I find that like Virgos I've talked about a lot have been the ones that have like hurt me the most, but I've also really loved Virgos. And I'm just like, well, maybe that's how I feel about myself. Like it's like a little love hate relationship.
Right. There.
So
that's so funny. Yeah. There was even a moment. Yeah. Obviously lesbians love astrology. I love that you got more hip to it after you came out. That all tracks. Winston, even at one point in the show, was talking about his sign with someone else. And he was just like, well, not to be like lesbian about it, like I don't take it that seriously.
yeah
so funny.
We love our charts.
I mean it's true. I remember someone, I think it was a past guest, was surprised to learn that my wife was a Sagittarius, and they're like, oh, you locked down a Sagittarius. I'm like, yeah, there are a lot of Sagittariuses that are married in the world. Like, it's not an impossible thing. Like, are you just using that as an excuse for you not to commit to things? I think that's a you thing and not something to. Yeah, yeah.
But we're projecting our own stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I guess going back to like cuffing season and the holidays and the show, are you into the holidays and all those activities, or were there some things where you're like, oh my gosh, this is like corny, or do you geek out about it? Do you find it fun?
I do have that little cheesy side to me. So not going to lie. Okay. When it came to like the dates and getting to be around animals, that was something that I really loved, like the reindeer and the horses. Yeah. I think there's some things maybe I'm not that into, but I really am the type to like, let's make Christmas cookies. Around the holiday. I really do enjoy this stuff. I do get into holidays. So, I mean, I used to, when I was a kid, me and my siblings would go and sing carols to, we would walk around the neighborhood singing carols to people, and we would go to nursing homes and sing to the older people. It's been a part of my life. Like that was like a time when we really kind of focused on like traditional stuff. And so there's a part of me that really likes that.
What's your favorite holiday movie?
I would have to say Elf.
Me too.
Great choice. Yes.
Too, right, Carolyn? We love
Great
Elf.
Great choice. Yeah. I mean, Home Alone and Elf.
Home Alone and Elf, that's it.
Are tied, love but comedy. I was hoping, mm-hmm. and only because I saw on your Instagram that you were wearing a Whitney Houston shirt, I'm like, could it be The Preacher's Wife? Because that's like my sleeper favorite that nobody ever brings up. The Preacher's Wife is a favorite holiday movie, but another I love Whitney Houston one. So much.
Yeah.
You know, I'll watch that over and over.
Yes, yeah. I need to watch that again.
Yeah, I'm not even Christian, and my family grew up like we celebrated Christmas, so they would make me feel not as like left out when I was a kid, but then we eventually stopped. But I feel like after the last few holiday seasons, or just like COVID, you know, like I need Christmas. Like I'm doing Christmas this year.
Yeah.
I'm getting a tree. I mean, yeah. And that's why I enjoyed the show so much. It was just like so cozy.
And yeah.
Like feel good. Never thought I'd say that about a reality dating show. So feel good.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like all the parts of like the Hallmark movies that are so bad, but like all those fun things from the movies are put in this like other show that that's just like very queer. And I'm like, oh, this is better. Now this gives me like my fill of like romantic holiday content. So that was very fun about it. One of the things in the show is like the gift giving ceremony, but in real life, how do you feel about gift giving? Especially like if you're in a relationship, do you feel like a lot of pressure? Do you like to do homemade stuff? Like how do you go about it?
I actually love giving gifts, and that's a love language for me, not necessarily in terms of receiving, but it's a way I like to show love. And sometimes my siblings in the past have joked that I'm like Santa, because I love to buy people gifts. And when I'm in a relationship or I'm seeing someone, I am definitely the person to be listening to everything you're saying. If I hear you say, oh, I like this shirt, or I like these shoes, or something like that, I'm secretly making notes, and you can possibly expect to have that soon. And I like surprises. I like to give surprises. So I really put a lot of effort. And also like gifts don't need to be a lot of money. Cause like my family, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. So like we got used to making random things for gifts, and I know how to bake and cook too. So I've baked like heart-shaped cakes before. I'm telling you, in the past I've done the most. So I made some like cakes before, and like just different things. So I feel like as long as like, if it's meaningful, or if you know it's something that's like their favorite or they really like, then like I get really into that. Like I will go down rabbit holes researching and finding like to like find the perfect gift for someone.
Oh, you're good. Yeah.
I love those so people.
I know. If I wasn't so selfish, like I have friends like that.
Or my girlfriend even. Here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very self-absorbed comedians, but I've been with people, or I have friends who just, yeah, have a running notes app note on their phone. They keep year round anytime someone mentions that they really like something, and they're always like springing it on them when they're least expecting it. I love that quality so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we all have our love languages.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I felt like I was that way as a kid. I just had this memory of like one year I really thought I got like the best gift for my grandparents. And it was, do you remember back in the day, the clapper for
clap
like
on.
The
clap? Oh, clap
yeah,
on.
Clap.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all in and our 30s.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my grandparents, they sit around a lot in their big, like, comfy chairs, and they don't like to get up from their spots in front of the TV. So this is the best gift ever. But it just drove them mad because, like, certain sounds, like someone would shut the door and then the lights would go off. Like, it just made life so confusing for them.
That's so
I love
funny.
A Christmas gift gone bad.
Oh, yeah.
Another big thing with being queer and this idea of cuffing season, like in the queer community, friendships and chosen family is such a big thing that I don't know, like, is it actually like a real thing that happens? Because I feel like right now, you know, Thanksgiving is a couple days away and my Instagram feed is full of queer people being like, who needs a place for Thanksgiving? Let's do Friendsgiving, all of that. Like, we're so much about making sure that everyone's like taken care of, has a place to be, that it doesn't seem like as urgent to like, I must be in a relationship right now. And I wonder if that's changing. Like, do you feel like you're just as happy to spend the holidays with just like friends and families and without a partner? What's the added bonus, I guess, of being coupled up? Is there one, or, you know, you don't miss it and just let it be organic? I don't know.
That's a great question. And I mean, you'll hear me talk on the show a lot about how important it is around the holidays for me to have someone. But truthfully, I feel like I've gotten to a place in my life where, I mean, I've been single for a really long time, and I've actually there's been a couple of holidays I've spent completely by myself and not feeling alone and miserable, feeling great. Because I moved away to, I was living in LA for a few years and I wasn't living anywhere close to family. So there were times that I couldn't, maybe I only had one or two days off of work and I couldn't go get on a plane and leave somewhere. And at first it was difficult, but eventually I got to a place where I got really comfortable in my solitude. And I think just the more that you can learn to be alone and not just get by, but just like really find joy in that, I just feel like you really will find a lot more joy in these times when a lot of people are getting together. But yes, I do still love being around friends and family. There is a benefit bringing someone home to be around the family. I mean, I've experienced both. I've been completely by myself or with groups of friends or chosen family or with my family and had a significant other there. And there's, I mean, all of the above, you can have a great holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have a very fulfilling time. So you don't have to have that. And I think a lot of people these days are really kind of embracing that more, kind of like what you were saying, and kind of finding their chosen families or finding, like, I mean, one thing I've noticed in my life in the last couple of years is how much love I have surrounding me in my life that's non-romantic and how fulfilling that is. So I think a lot of people are really kind of getting into that space, because especially with the pandemic and everything, it's a hard time to date. It's a hard time to date and find someone and do things a little bit more traditionally. So I think people are spending a lot of time learning how to have a fulfilling life without being in a relationship.
Oh, I love that. Cuff yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cuff yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, cuff yourself. I think that's a good place to wrap up our conversation on the topic on the show. Amanda, what's next for you? So you're an actor?
Yeah, I've been auditioning quite a bit. I've been pretty busy this year, especially like throughout the summer and into the fall. I've been traveling a lot for work and I've been in Texas. A lot of that has been commercials, and I did one Netflix film, kind of a small role at a few lines. And that filmed in Texas in the summer. And that's probably coming out, I think, next year. But yeah, I'm still actively auditioning and just hoping to book the role that's right for me. So, and then also I'm looking for a new representation in LA and possibly Atlanta as well, unless I find an agency that represents in both areas. And then I would like to, I'm really pushing myself to start writing more. I used to tell myself, oh, I'm not a writer, but I've always enjoyed writing. I've always like journaled a lot and I enjoy creative writing. So it is my goal. I want to make a short film next year.
Yes.
And I want to write it and get a team together to put that together. And I've had some ideas here and there for some for shows, but on the narrative side, but I haven't really put much into that yet. But these are some of my my goals that I would like to start working on here in the next year. So.
Love it.
Love it. We would love to see more creators like you. Would love to see you on screen in a narrative context, too. So that's exciting. Where can people follow you on social media?
They can follow me on Amanda Grace Jenkins. And that's the same on Instagram and TikTok.
And most importantly, are your DMs open? Our listeners are going to want to know. They're going to want to know. Are your DMs open?
I mean, they're always open. I'm always happy to meet new people.
Okay.
So yeah, I feel like I'm in a good space right now, like just doing my thing. But yeah, people can reach out if they want to.
All right. You heard it here. Well, Amanda Grace, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and excited for everybody to watch the show. And I hope it leads to exciting things for you.
Thank you very much. It was so nice talking with you guys and getting to be on your podcast.
Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah, I think I walked away from that whole conversation just not believing in cuffing season. I don't think it's a thing.
Nope. I don't either. I still believe in hot girl summer, but that's it.
Yes. I believe in hot girl summer. Cuffing season, I think, is a myth. And if there are some science dykes out there with some hard data to prove us otherwise, send it over, because I don't believe it.
Mm-mm.
Also, can I say that it really blew my mind that the show does not take place over Christmas.
I was going to say, can we talk about it? I mean,
can we? Yeah.
Can we reveal that we have like a PR person on? I just assumed they would cut in.
I thought they would say, you cannot talk about that. Yeah.
Right. When she said that, to be like, hey, 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 they got to know it's Christmas 2020. Like, you know,
right. Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering the timing of it, because I was like, wow, they really filmed this like, you know, before the vaccines.
It was last spring, in fact.
We're out, but no, yeah, they did it in time for people to be vaxxed. I'm like, how did this show even get made? But that's it. It's
then
all
that's the
a
scoop
lie.
We got for you.
Yeah. It shook me. I was kind of distracted the whole time, being like, wait a minute. So well, like this whole like the New Year's, I was like, when the fireworks that go off on New Year's Eve, I'm like, what were those fireworks
CGI
from?
And I actually yeah. just finished the last episode, because I had binged it all day, had it on while in the lead up to our interview, right? Didn't
right.
I was finished halfway through the last episode. So then I finally finished actually yesterday. I was like, oh, I should wrap this up, with the knowledge just for half an episode that it was being shot what last March. What did she say?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm watching now, maybe because I knew what looked like a very fake New Year's situation, but I'm like, was Carolyn just watching this like through movie magic, through editing? Would you, like, you, I'm like, did you think it was New Year's you're watching? Yeah. No.
No, I was watching. No. I was watching, being like, this feels off.
Oh,
like
okay.
for like this time of year in New York. I'm like, what is this?
Allie
like,
was like,
staging?
Oh, a singular firework display. That's not how that happens in New York. So it was just one right in front of them on the Empire. Okay. Are we just spoiling the show? Let's move on.
We are. Yeah, we
it's
have listeners.
Fun. It's fun.
And they have questions. So,
let's
get
to that.
To it.
All right. Him. Okay. I've been talking to this girl and seeing her quite a bit. Things are getting kind of serious. In May, she got out of her last relationship, which was about 2 years long. As someone who's been single for a long time and happy with it, that seems to be really recent to me, yet she tells me she wants to be exclusive. She blocked her ex on everything except texts. Is it out of place to ask her to block her ex once we are finally official? Would it be bad to take a step back if she refused?
Yeah. Yes and yes.
Yeah.
People don't have to block their exes on unless, like, are there inappropriate messages happening or something? Like, this person said it ended badly, so if she blocked her on everywhere, like, just because she doesn't have the text block, that's like super controlling behavior to be like, you need to block your ex on text, and then to say you're not gonna be exclusive like make it official or whatever if she doesn't do it.
We're saying
no.
Yes, that's bad. I had a situation where I requested someone block an ex, but this was first of all, a man, cis man who kept trying to reach out like being really gaslighty in the DMs and just like manipulating and calling when drunk. And I was like, okay, if you could please, you know, and I feel like that's okay. Like if it's like they're
if it's
actively
a problem,
being toxic and in your face, like there's no. Yeah. But if it's for the threat of a text in the future that you want them to block? No.
They broke up in May. That was over, I don't know when we got this question, but that was over like 6 months ago. Like, that's fine for a 2-year relationship. That's plenty of time has passed. I don't know why you feel threatened by this ex. There was some other information in this question, like, the potential girlfriend, I guess, is close with the ex's family. Like, that'll fade over time. Like, I got close to my ex-wife's family and we still kept in touch for a little bit. And I still keep in touch with my ex-brother-in-law, who I was really close with. But it's not like a huge part of my life. You know, like, there's nothing.
So, is that all we need? We just edited it for like the sake of timing, but that was it, right? That she is still friends with this ex's sister. And you're okay.
I just didn't think
that
was relevant. Yeah. Okay. I didn't think that was relevant information. Like, it was almost like they were this person who wrote in, who we love you for listening to Diking Out, but it felt like you were saying, like, oh, I'm being cool about her being friends with her ex's sister, I should be able to have her block the ex.
Well, riddle me this. What if this sister that this person is still so close to, what if something happens to the sister and the ex then needs to reach out to this person you're seeing because something happened with this sister that you're so close with, and that's the only way they can get in touch. They're blocked on everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That's going too far. Yeah. Not your example, though. I like that your mind goes there. I think
just trying to track down. What if her sister goes missing? Is she trying to track her down? I'm just trying to make it make sense.
What if she like found something her grandma's jewelry that got passed on that she accidentally left at her place? I don't know. Yeah. But like, there's no reason. This is definitely a listener. I'm sorry to tell you, but you have a you problem. The problem here is not the ex. The problem is you and feeling threatened by it. And you need to get over it. Yeah.
Look at that. We're agreeing. We started off today recording a Patreon episode absolutely disagreeing, and we've come together in agreement that, it's bad.
It's a Hanukkah miracle.
Yeah.
On this third night of Hanukkah that we are recording.
Mazel.
Hope everyone's still enjoying their Hanukkah. Should still be going strong when this ep comes out. And That's it. If you have a question, send it to dykingout@gmail.com. Follow us at dykingout on social media. Follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You follow me at Melody Kamali.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Tatiana Maslany. I'm the Emmy Award-winning actor of the hit TV show Orphan Black. I'm also the star and executive producer of Power Trip, my brand new show on Realm.
And I'm Amy. I'm not in the show, but I am here to tell you about it. Power Trip is a dark comedy for fans of Fleabag and Russian Doll. Tatiana Maslany plays Jane, a woman who receives a black market kidney transplant for her chronic illness and ends up with the mysterious ability to make people do as she commands. Suddenly feeling in control for the first time in her life, Jane learns how tempting it can be to exert her powers at any cost. Featuring performances from Grammy winner Lisa Loeb and actor Brendan Hines, Power Trip follows Jane and her loved ones, including a new group of friends with powers, as they navigate the messiness of life and love in New York City. Learn more about Power Trip at realm.fm. And be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.